It seems like only yesterday we were actually agonising over what should we actually call Annette Andre's autobiography. It's a message which we put out there, certainly in terms of the website, AnnetteAndre.com, and the message is, what do we actually call an autobiography? And so with a certain amount of trepidation, we're delighted to be able to go over to upstate New York and say, Annette Andre, legendary actress, Australian actress, and generally wonderful, all-round, perfect person, have we got a name for the autobiography as yet?
Oh. No, they're coming in rather slowly, actually. Oh. I think people are still having to discover the website. I think it'll take quite a while.
Well, we'll keep.
So I'm having to be quite patient. Meanwhile, I'm working on dragging up memories and things. A little difficult.
Well, it's all there, and you know, we're connecting all sorts of magical ways because you know, AnnetteAndre.com is the website to go to if you have got any kind of interest whatsoever in classic televisual history of the finest kind in all sorts of ways, etc. Five episodes of The Saint, five.
Yes.
From that point of view, plus, of course, another even more wonderful thing with one of our other semi-regular correspondents, now he's based in Los Angeles, of course, Ian Ogilvie, when he was Simon Templar in Return of the Saint.
That's right, yes,
he
does.
Yeah.
He's based in L.A., is he?
He is indeed, yes. And he's there. He's a children's author now, actually. He's been writing a whole range of things, not to do with that. I think the Adventures of Meebles, etc.
So, how wonderful. I didn't know that.
Quite extraordinary. Well, you see, we like to feel that we can put together people who've worked at ITC over the decades and sort of still connect them, even though they're in different parts, and East Coast, West Coast, and all sorts of other bits and pieces. But let's introduce you to the team in the studio. We have Sarah Bullimore.
Hello.
Hello.
Former dancer and now co-director of the Cultural Solutions scenario in Lincoln. Well, actually, it's more than Lincoln, isn't it? I keep saying that because Cultural Solutions extends beyond the world, doesn't it, really?
As far as we can get work.
We'll
work anywhere.
Exactly. This is classic stuff from that point of view. We also have Jodie Orton with us.
Hello, Annette.
Hello, Jodie.
And the return once again of the Furmans, Francesca and Leslie, who are also connecting as well from that point of view.
Oh, yes, hello.
Hi, Annette. How are you doing?
Exactly.
Fine, thank you.
So, Leslie, we've given you some information to read about Annette to work through on that. Any questions from yourself?
Yeah, I do. Annette, you worked as a singer, a dancer, an actress. You've worked in radio, in theatre. Did you have a preference for the type of work you did and the medium that you performed in?
Yes. Well, firstly, I was dedicated to ballet. That's what I was going to do, and then things intervened, and it didn't. So my heart was actually set in theatre. So when I decided to go into acting, which didn't take very long, all of about 5 minutes, I went into radio. And theatre, and then, of course, television in Australia. We were way behind everybody else, so television didn't come in until the mid-50s. But my preference for the mediums, I love theatre. I think probably that's my favourite. And film. That's what I love. I used to enjoy radio, too.
Well, we hope we haven't put you off radio. I know it's just the third link we've actually put together, Annette, but really, you know, I used to enjoy radio. I think, well, what are we doing here, for goodness sakes?
I know. Of course. I forgot.
Well, there we are.
Yeah, actually, I loved radio because it was great fun, you know, in those days, too. I started when we were still recording on... God, it makes me sound like I'm 100. When we were still recording on disc. And so if you went wrong, you had to start all the way from the beginning again, which wasn't...
Listen, Annette, it could have been more challenging. You could have been using wire recordings. You could have been using wax cylinders. There's all sorts of things we could have been using.
We could have gone back that far. We didn't.
Exactly. And besides, it was simply a case of just wanting to ensure that there's a balance. A bit of retro stuff actually comes through from that point of view. So the one thing I was quite amazed about, though, was a little line that came here from a publication, which is in fact entitled The Complete DVD Collection of The Saint, etc., when you're defined as one of the most ubiquitous guest stars of The Saint, etc.
Right.
When you made the second of five Saint appearances in The Loving Brothers, you effectively were told by the director, Leslie Norman, that you had to have an Australian accent, And he got angry because he didn't sound Australian. So what was going on there?
I met Leslie firstly in Australia because he went out. He was in Australia making a movie called Summer of the 17th Doll. And I was up for one of the sort of supporting female leads in that. I didn't get it. But he liked me and felt I had, you know, potential. And he said, when you come to England, which you will do, you must look me up. So I did. And then I got, a couple of years into it, I got that episode with Leslie. By which time, I'd worked and worked and worked to lose my Australian accent. Not that I had a really strong one. I'd had elocution lessons and all that sort of thing when I was growing up.
Did they tell you how to have a babby?
Australian accent. But I'd worked, you see, and then he wants me to do an Australian accent, which I bucked against and said, well, you know, and he kept at me, and I kept thinking I was doing a really, really, really strong Australian accent, you know?
A strain, he's in there.
And he kept saying, it's not good enough, it's not good enough. Dear. And so we had a row, but it was quite funny.
And I hadn't realised that actually in the ITC co-production Whiplash, you'd also starred with the actor who went on to become Jim Phelps in Mission Impossible, of course.
Oh, yes, with Peter Gray.
Exactly, yes.
So I did three of those. I think one of them, I've just discovered, going through all my sort of memories and diaries and things, I think one of them that I did, they actually cut out my scenes because they said it was too torrid, a love scene. I don't know quite how that happened.
Well, you see, saucy Australians.
We certainly had all our clothes on and everything. It really wasn't anything.
I don't know about that. We're going to come back to you in about 68 seconds from now, but it's just to set the scene, because it's a question you may not be able to answer. I'll give you sort of 68 seconds to think about it, because having been in both, as far as TV series are concerned, because obviously George Sanders, Simon Dutton, they've also portrayed Simon Templar, as did Val Kilmer, although I don't quite know why Val Kilmer actually bothered doing the thing in the first place, but that's by the by. Obviously, Roger Moore, Ian Ogilvy, could be a tough call. We know that from previous calls that Patrick McGoohan, no chance. No, lot of anger with Patrick McGoohan, step to one side, etc. But where's the net going to go when it comes to the debate of Ian Ogilvy or Roger Moore when it comes to this individual?
Is that what I have to answer?
I think, but we'll give you 68 seconds to do so.
All right.
And of course, curiously, Annette, in the episode of Return of the Saint that you did actually perform, it was actually filmed and released in 1978, the year of the John Travolta Grease musical, of course, with Olivia Newton-John, you were portraying a character called Sandy. Thinking, this is quite interesting. Obviously, the Australian connection there. Sandy, the ex-wife of the Ian Hendry character. And Ian Hendry was obviously very upset because he'd lost his arm. Well, obviously not literally, but he had all sorts of challenges within that whole setup there. The episode was, of course, Yesterday's Hero. You did a fair number of scenes with Ian Ogilvy. Very few, in fact, I don't think you did any with Ian Hendry, as far as I can recall, apart from his funeral, when he wasn't actually in there in the first place, really.
I can't remember. I mean, Ian, of course, I'd worked with, you know, in This Is My Street, and I knew Ian quite well, and we talked a lot. I can't remember if I had scenes with him or not, because I spent time with him while we were doing that episode,
I specifically, as a bit of research, I watched the episode last night. I dug it out of the system and I thought, oh, that's quite interesting, because you also, the young child that you actually had there, because your mother was a young child, you only actually connected with him at the end of the funeral as well. It was just quite bizarre in many ways, but still. And also I'd have question marks about the school, the private school, allowed Ian Hendry to simply walk across the grounds to speak to his son, take his son off. It's, you know, what's going on there? Where's the security? However, the question rests, Ian Ogilvy or Roger Moore in terms of Simon Templar, where would you go?
I have to say with Roger.
Yep, I thought so.
Because Ian I'd worked with previously, before I did the episode, I'd worked with him in something else, I can't remember now. So I knew Ian, and he's a lovely guy. But Roger sort of nurtured me, because I started, The Saint was the first of one of those really professional TV episodes that I'd ever had to do, and he literally took me by the hand and walked through the whole thing with me because I was terrified. And then he kept, they kept calling me back to do more episodes. And he had such a wonderful sense of humour, and somehow or other we always managed to laugh our way through all the episodes. And then I did The Persuaders with him, so we became really good friends, and so he has the edge.
There we are. That's perfectly understandable. And probably it's interesting, of course, you portrayed a character called Annette in the episode To Kill a Saint as well.
Right.
Surreal.
I don't know why I was called Annette. Well, I must have found that quite funny.
Line,
I quite enjoyed that episode, actually.
Apparently, in that particular area, your father was a bank guard who had been killed during an armed robbery 12 months before, hence your strange scheme of firing blanks at the notorious Simon Templar.
Oh. Ah. Well, everybody knows more about these things than I do. I haven't seen them for years.
Listen, we were just featuring Michelle Monroe and we played a Matt Monroe classic from 50 years ago, so it's a bit sooner than that, but we like to do our research, you know, so you might have been confused on set
good.
At the time.
Very
you know, it's nice to know it's connected together. Jodie, questions for Annette.
Annette, I know you said that you've been, you know, trying to think through lots of memories for your autobiography. How do you think it's going? I mean, how much do you think you've got so far?
Well, at the moment I'm up to the mid-60s.
There's a lot to go yet.
This is just noting. This is just jotting things down. You know, I haven't actually started the writing yet because I want to get things into perspective. And I'm finding it extremely difficult going back in time and dragging up memories.
Well, Annette,
some of which were wonderful and some of which you want to forget.
Key thing, Annette, is to focus on the positive and bear in mind that according to many cosmologists, time is an illusion. Everything's happened at the same time instantly. So, you know, it's all there. We're happening at the same time now. So,
That's true.
Sarah Bullimore.
Hello, Annette. As Alex kind of mentioned to you before, my background is in dance. So I'm interested to kind of learn, when you did dance, whereabouts did you dance and with whom?
Where did I?
Yes.
Oh, I did all that in Australia, or most of all of that in Australia. Because I, from the age of 4, I studied ballet, which was because of a medical problem that I had. And my mother said, well, you need exercise, so you're going to do ballet. That's a nice thing to do. And so I studied ballet, and I actually was chosen for the Australian Ballet Company, which was a wonderful company in those days. So I did a little bit of dancing there, and then I had to stop for various reasons. And then I went into doing some modern dancing.
Yeah.
I danced in some musicals out there, and I did a bit of cabaret work, what it's worth, and those sorts of things. And then gradually, you know, it sort of phased out of my life because I wasn't involved in... my first production in London was a musical of Vanity Fair, and I danced in that. I only had a tiny role in that. I danced in that, and that was really about the last professional dancing I did. But I always loved it, and I used to go back to classes from time to time or, you know, get involved in something.
Yeah, definitely.
Yes.
Yeah, once you have had it in your life, you kind of, I think, miss it when it's not there. It's a bit like theatre, really, isn't it? Yeah,
it's very hard to get rid of.
Yeah, definitely.
The movement of the body and everything. I've always had to be active. I can't just sit down and do nothing.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
It's very important.
Well, good luck for you.
Thank you. You're
saying very well, actually. In fact, Sarah, we really should look at the opportunities, hopefully when the autobiography is published, of getting Annette André over to actually publicise it, really.
If we
can get Simon Napier-Bell to fly over from Thailand,
yeah.
I'm sure getting a fine actress across from New York State should not be that difficult.
That would be terrific.
Oh, I'll work it out.
Just send the date.
Yeah, write the book. it'll get together. Leslie, anything from yourself?
No, I was just in reading this little bit here, I was smiling. The House on Dragon's Rock, you said that you loved that episode because it was so ridiculous. It's the one where you've got ants, giant ants.
The spiders. Oh,
it says ants eggs were footballs that were covered in furry material.
It was my favourite Saint episode. I remember it well. It's a classic.
Well, look, that's really hard, isn't it, when you're trying to be serious and be professional, all that, but you're getting something like really nuts going on.
Waving its legs around, or giant spider web, which is made of whatever. And with Roger directing behind the, you know, he was working in it, of course, but also directing that one. So, I mean, the laughs were really non-stop. People, we had to stop sometimes and say, this is no good. We've got to get on with this and be serious. And then there was a rock fall, you know, with lots of rocks all falling down. But, of course, they were all made of balsa.
Mm.
So they...
Those balsa
off.
Wood rocks, I
laugh even more.
Always scary.
It was a very funny episode to do, actually.
I mean, I have actually tried for you know, some sort of comedy effects to actually wave a little stick with a little ant egg, you know, within the middle of the studio. It has no effect whatsoever. It just doesn't work in any way. It's not good at all. Francesca, anything you'd like to put to Annette?
Hi, Annette. I was wondering...
Hello.
Do you think it's harder to write your own autobiography or to collaborate with someone else for them to write a biography on you?
Well, I'm not sort of into it enough to really know that when I've actually written it or written more, that then I think I can answer your questions. I've never written anything before.
It's being explored and developed, you see. It's kind of like coming alive during the course of these phone links, I feel, really, you know. I mean, we talked last time about the Annette Andre's advice for dealing with bears, grizzly or otherwise, basically. Don't run away. That's our key thing, unless it's growling.
That's it, yeah. Don't turn your back and run.
Mm. Uh-huh.
Don't look them squarely in the eye. Just sort of look past them a little bit and turn and walk slowly. That's it.
Very useful because Leslie and Francesca and Jody are going camping this weekend in an area of the country that's probably known for the grizzly bears.
Oh, yeah, we're in England.
in the northeast. Yeah. Well, I've often wondered...
I think the only bear you'll find is Paddington.
He can be pretty scary when he goes on one of those marmalade sandwich hunts. crucial.
I've often wondered, though, how the American scouts and so on go camping with all of the you know, they've got rattlesnakes out there and bears. Mm. You know.
What, up here? Where?
In America.
Oh, yes. Huh. Well, in parts of America. Well, yes, bears are pretty much, they're pretty common. They're pretty indigenous to the place, the black bears. You've got to go up north or right up into Colorado. I think North Colorado has the grizzlies. You know, Yellowstone Park and those sorts of things. They have the grizzlies. Those I wouldn't tempt anyone with. Mm. The black bear I know. Mm. But, there are quite a few things. But as I come from Australia, which has got the most amount of deadly creatures that I think than almost anywhere in the world, and I grew up there, that takes quite a bit to scare me a lot. Because I've had incidents with all sorts of wriggly, furry, many-feeted creatures.
So really, ultimately, what you're saying, Annette, is those sort of ants on sticks, that's pointless, really, isn't it? It's just, you know, why bother even starting? You know, keep it real, I mean, for goodness sake. Is this what Stanislavski and Brecht spent so much time talking about method acting for? Still, or even distanciation. Sarah Bullimore, last two questions for Annette Andre, please.
Have you had a reasonably interesting telephone conversation with us today?
Oh, I've loved it. I always do. I have a really good time on this. I think it's good fun.
Brilliant.
And I enjoy the questions, yes.
Excellent.
Yes, they're interesting questions and they're not too hard.
Annette, if you'd like us to deal with existential psychoanalysis or the square root of pi, just let us know. You know, we'll get back to you about that and we can start... Okay.
And can we look forward to listening to you again soon?
I hope so. I think that would be lovely, yes. I'd enjoy that very much.
I feel as though we're sharing in the birth of the autobiography here. We still haven't got a name, but that's because it's still in the processes of just being collated.
Have to wait a few months.
Exactly.
It will.
We'll sort of do it. And don't forget, AnnetteAndre.com is the go-to website to find out all manner of marvellous, delightful things with respect to details from that. Annette Andre will return.
Thank you.